بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In this lesson, we're going to discuss the first principle or the first foundation that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimullah mentions in his treatise أربع قواعد تدور الأحكام عليها. Four principles which the rulings of the Sharia are based upon. So the first principle that the Imam mentions in his treatise is تحريم القول على الله بلا علم, is the prohibition, the impermissibility to speak about Allah without knowledge. And no doubt this principle, it's a great principle from the principles of the Sharia, that it isn't permitted for a person to speak about Allah without knowledge. And the reason why this principle is there is in order to protect Islam, protect Muslims, in fact protect all of creation from people who speak about Islam or speak about Allah without any knowledge. And when the author said it is not permitted to speak about Allah without any knowledge, the meaning is more general. I not only Allah, but Allah, His religion, His rulings, His Sharia, it is not permitted for a person to say anything about all of this without any knowledge. And speaking about Islam, giving da'wah, al-amr bil-ma'roof, ordering with goodness, al-nahyu anil-munkar, forbidding evil, giving fatawa, giving rulings, all of these actions are great acts of worship in Islam. This is the first thing that has to be realized. Al-da'wah, it's an act of worship. Al-amr bil-ma'roof is an act of worship. Al-nasiha, giving sincere advice to the Muslims, is an act of worship. And every act of worship, which is in the Quran and the Sunnah, has certain conditions, certain manners, and certain obligations. So for example, al-wudu, it is a great act of worship in Islam. When a person makes wudu, you are rewarded for making wudu. However, before you make wudu, there are certain conditions which have to be fulfilled. And during making wudu, there are certain obligations that have to be fulfilled. And there are also certain manners when it comes to making wudu. And these are called adab. So for example, one of the conditions of making wudu is that the water is pure. If a person makes wudu without or with water which is impure, his wudu is not accepted. Why is it not accepted? Because he hasn't fulfilled the condition of making wudu, that the water he is making wudu with has to be pure. As-salah, the prayer, is a great act of worship. It is an ibadah. And also it has shurut, conditions, arkan, pillars, wajibat, obligations, and sunan, recommended acts or manners. One of the conditions of the prayer is being in a state of wudu. One of the conditions of the prayer is facing the qibla. So if somebody now prays and he doesn't face the qibla, or he isn't in a state of wudu, his prayer is not accepted. Why? Because he hasn't fulfilled the condition which is stipulated before that action. In fact, we say it isn't permitted for a person to pray unless he performs wudu and he faces the qibla. It's not permitted for a person to make wudu with water until he knows that this water is pure. So just like these are acts of worship, as-salah, as-sawm, al-wudu, then also ad-da'wah, and al-amru bil-ma'roof, al-nahi anil-munkar, giving fatawa, al-nasiha, teaching the people, all of these are also acts of worship. And just as they have conditions and manners, then these also have conditions and manners. And one of the conditions of these acts of worship, al-da'wa, al-amru bil-ma'roof, al-nahi anil-munkar, al-nasiha, rather the greatest condition is al-ilm, knowledge. That before you give this da'wah, before you call, before you teach, before you give sincere advice, you have to have knowledge regarding the Sharia. You have to have knowledge regarding that which you are calling 2. Allah said in the Quran, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the people, that this is my path, I Islam. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, I call to Allah, عَلَى بَصِيرًا, upon insight. And the meaning of basira or insight is knowledge, evidences and proofs. أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي, me and all those who follow me. So this ayah is an evidence that the condition of calling to Allah is al-basira, is knowledge, insight, proofs and evidences. And this is one of the main mistakes with some of the jama'at, some of the groups who call to at-tabligh and call to at-da'wah, that often you find them, they don't teach their people about knowledge. The first thing they want to start with is go and give at-da'wah, go and give at-tabligh. And perhaps the person who is giving da'wah and giving tabligh, he's the most ignorant of the people. So always we say that before a person gives da'wah, first comes knowledge. And speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge, or speaking about Islam without knowledge, is the most severest of sins in al-Islam. Rather, the ulama say that... Rather, the ulama say that speaking about Allah and speaking about Islam without knowledge, it is the cause of every evil and every calamity. It is because people speak about Allah and His religion without any knowledge. And no doubt this is haram in every religion of all of the messengers came before. We mentioned last week that the core message of all of the prophets, at-tawheed and aqidah, it is always the same. But some of the rulings of the Sharia and the Minhaj, they used to change. This issue, speaking about Allah and His religion without knowledge, is haram in all of the Sharia, all of the legislations of the previous messengers. Therefore, a person needs to know that what is the knowledge which is an obligation upon every single person. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an authentic hadith, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. Seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every single Muslim. Every Muslim, male, female, old or young, seeking knowledge about Islam is an obligation. Does this now mean that it is obligatory, wajib, upon every single person that he has to go to Medina University and study? Or he has to go to Yemen or Pakistan or India with the ulama and study and memorize a hadith? So therefore, what we need to know is, what is that knowledge which is an obligation? And what is the knowledge which is recommended, but not necessarily an obligation? The ulama, they say that the knowledge which is an obligation is two types. The knowledge which is an obligation upon every single person, meaning it isn't permitted for a person to be ignorant regarding this, and you are punished for being ignorant regarding this, is two types. Number one, the core of your religion, your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your iman in Allah, His prophets, His angels, His books, in the final day, at-tawheed, ash-shirk. Every single Muslim has to know about this. La ilaha illallah, the meaning of La ilaha illallah, the conditions of La ilaha illallah, what things affirm La ilaha illallah, which things negate La ilaha illallah. All of these things, a person has to have knowledge about them. Nobody is excused for not knowing the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Nobody is excused for not knowing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So this is the first obligatory knowledge that every single person has to know and learn about. And this is called al-aqidah, i.e. the belief of a Muslim with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this reason, the scholars, they have a statement. They say, La yajuz at-taqleedu fil aqaid, that at-taqleed, blind following, is not permissible when it comes to aqaid, when it comes to a person's belief. And the evidence of this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that la yajuz at-taqleed fil aqaid, at-taqleed, blind following, is not permitted when it comes to aqidah. And the evidence of this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when in the grave a person will be asked to say La ilaha illallah. And he won't be able to say La ilaha illallah. And then that person will be questioned, why can you not say La ilaha illallah now in the grave, but you used to say it in the dunya? And he will say, Ha, sami'tu an-nasa yaqulun faqultuhu. He would say, Ha, expression of desperation. He would say, I used to merely hear the people saying it in the dunya, and I used to copy them. I used to say it. But I didn't know what it was, what the meaning was. So here he used to blind follow and merely copy and imitate the people saying La ilaha illallah, without knowing its meaning, without knowing Tawheed, without knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will not benefit him in the hereafter. So this is the first branch or level of knowledge, which is an obligation. And this is an obligation in every time. The second obligatory knowledge is specific acts of worship when they become an obligation upon you. So for example, when the month of Ramadan comes, then it becomes an obligation upon every single Muslim to know about Ramadan. Because you might be fasting and you do something, you've broken your fast and you don't know you've broken your fast. When Hajj comes, for example, then it becomes an obligation for you to seek knowledge about Al-Hajj, so that you can do Hajj properly and fulfill this pillar properly. And when, for example, az-zakah becomes an obligation upon you, then in this situation now it becomes an obligation for you to learn about the rulings of az-zakah, to the level that you are able to fulfill this act of worship properly. If you can fulfill this act of worship properly and you have that much knowledge, then you have fulfilled the obligation. Anything more than this, then this is something which is recommended. So these two types of knowledge or branches of knowledge are what is meant by the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslim. Seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every single Muslim, i.e. his aqidah, his tawheed, his belief, la ilaha illallah. And then when an act of worship becomes an obligation, then you know enough about that act of worship so you can fulfill the act of worship, and it is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are obligatory acts of knowledge or issues of knowledge upon every single Muslim. But now we are talking about somebody speaking about the religion or giving da'wah to the religion. So this person, now there is an additional piece of knowledge that he also has to have as an obligation. And he has to have enough knowledge about what he is calling to. So if a person is going to go to his neighbors, for example, and let's say his neighbors are non-Muslims, and he's going to call them to Islam, he needs to know enough about calling them to Islam and perhaps some of the doubts that they're going to mention, so he can defend Islam, the Prophet, and the beliefs of Islam in order for him to call the people to Islam. As for a person just calling other people and he knows nothing about the religion, then this is something which is not permitted. And also, we need to know what are the different levels of, we can say, answering a question when it comes to Islam. And there are three main levels. We have a hukam, and we have a fatwa, and then we have a qadiyah. These are three levels when it comes to talking about Islam or answering a question regarding Islam. Hukum, fatwa, and qadiyya.
What's the third one again, sorry?
Qadiyya. Qadiyyatun.
Qadi.
Same. And I'll explain it to you. So, the hukum is a ruling about a particular matter which always remains constant. So, for example, if somebody comes to you and says, what is the hukum of drinking alcohol? Drinking alcohol is haram in all situations. From the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the final ayah was revealed, up until Yawm al-Qiyamah, drinking alcohol remains haram. And this is a hukum, i.e. a ruling about Islam which remains constant and doesn't change according to a person or a country or a time. It always remains the same. And the hukum If somebody has knowledge about it, then he says it and he speaks with it. If somebody knows, as you know, that stealing is haram, and somebody asks you what is the ruling of stealing, you don't say, I can't speak about Allah without knowledge. Rather, if you know the hukum, then you make the hukum clear. You say that it is haram for a person to steal. And the person who speaks about the hukum or the ahkam are the ulama, an alim. And the meaning of alim is a scholar, or at a lower level, somebody who knows. So if you know the ruling of this hukum, then you speak about it and you answer the question. After this, we come to a fatwa. And the fatwa is more specific than the hukum. The fatwa is something, a question or an issue, which changes from person to person, from situation to situation. And therefore, the same question might have a different answer or a different fatwa in England, in America, in Saudi Arabia, in Pakistan. The same question might have four possible different answers. Why? Because it is a fatwa. And fatawa are not answered by ulama, rather they are answered by a mufti. So this is the difference between a hukam and a fatwa, and an alim and a mufti. Of course, sometimes we have an alim who is a mufti, but sometimes we might not have an alim who is necessarily a mufti. So when it comes to the fatawa, then these issues are answered by the mufti and not any person, because he needs to understand the different situations of the people, not only the ruling of Islam, but also the situation or the context in which that ruling is going to be given. And as I mentioned, this fatwa, the same thing in England might differ to Saudi Arabia, might differ to Pakistan, because it differs from situation to situation. And then finally we have qadiyah. And the meaning of qadiyah is something which is even more specific than even a fatwa. And a qadiyah is specific to differences amongst people. So when two people, they differ about a particular issue, or they dispute a particular issue, this is when a qadiyah is now needed. And the qadiyah is not answered by the alim, neither is it answered by the mufti, rather it is answered by the qadi, the judge. Because what he needs to know, he needs to know the hukum, the ruling of the sharia. He needs to know the situation and the context, like the mufti. And he also needs to analyze and co-analyze the evidences and the claims of both parties, and critically analyze each claim along with the evidences. So for example, when it comes to issues of divorce typically, or disputes in land, property, loans, the alim won't answer the question, and even the mufti will not answer the question. Even in Saudi Arabia, when we were in Medina, for example, in Masjid al-Nabawi, and the greatest of the scholars would be asked about an issue of talaq, he would say, go to the court. Because in the court is the qadi. And the qadi is required to check the claims of both of the people and analyze the claims of both of the people. So the point here is that speaking about the religion, it is three types. Either you're giving a hukum when it comes to answering a question, i.e. a ruling which is constant, or you are giving a fatwa, i.e. a ruling which is specific to a situation and a group of people, or you are talking about a qadiyah, which is trying to resolve a dispute between two disputing parties. And in all of these cases, the same ruling applies. Tahreemul qawli ala Allahi bila'ilm. Speaking about Allah, or speaking about the religion of Allah without any knowledge. And the time that we live in today, with the internet and the avenues of communication, it's a time which is very dangerous, because anybody is saying anything about al-Islam. And with the touch of a button, that message or that image is being sent to millions of people, without any accountability as to who this person is, and even knowing the name of that person, anything about that person, the credentials of this person. And this is more so with the young people. That is strange, in the olden days, our elders, for example, they had less knowledge than us about Islam, but they were more fearful of saying something about Islam without knowledge. And today we have near to nothing knowledge of Islam, and yet we are quick to answer, and quick to spread, and quick to forbid something. Speaking about something, it's correct due to a number of reasons. Either you have learned something, and therefore you say it and it is correct. So for example, one of you learned something at school, and then if your parent asks the question, because of what you've learned at school, you can then answer that question and it is correct. Or the second way is a tajriba, is experience. Sometimes our experience teaches us things that we haven't learned at school. So you might find a person saying that don't go to this person because I have bad experience with this person. And this experience is also valid and his statement is the truth. Sometimes it's your own logic or your own reasoning. Your own logic and your own reasoning and your own thinking will prove something to you, and therefore what you say is the truth. And the final way is al-dhaka, is a person's own intelligence. Out of a person's own intelligence, he might work out that 5 times 5 is 25, and therefore it is true. So these four ways are the main ways in which a person can speak about something and what he says is the truth. Either something he has learned, or an experience, or reasoning and logic, or a person's own intelligence. However, when it comes to speaking about Islam and speaking about the Sharia, then any of these four reasons, it is not permitted. You cannot speak about Islam according to your own knowledge or your own experience or your own reasoning or logic or your own intelligence. And therefore, the only validation in speaking about Islam is what? Al-Wahi, revelation. And what do we mean by revelation? The Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to the understanding of the companions. So if somebody asks you about Islam, you can't answer them according to your thinking, your logic, your reasoning, your experience, or your intelligence. Rather, you have to know and have with you a branch of revelation, i.e. either an ayah from the Quran, or a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or a statement of one of the scholars who bases his statement upon revelation. So the only thing which permits us to speak about Islam is al-wahi, that we have with us something from revelation. What are the examples of people speaking about Allah and his religion without any knowledge? Number one, a person answering a question of fiqh and he doesn't know the answer to it. He just says, oh, I think it's allowed, or I think it's haram, without any knowledge, any revelation with him, or any statements of the ulama. Number two, another way of speaking about Allah without knowledge is to speak about the names, the attributes, and the essence of Allah according to your own logic. Some people, they say that if you say Allah is above the heavens, then logically that says that you have given Allah a direction. And whenever you put something in a direction, then that direction is bigger than that person. And therefore you have now said logically that the direction which is up, it encompasses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you say about Allah that he is above the throne, then logically when somebody is sitting on something, then that thing is bigger than the person who is sitting on it. And therefore you are now logically saying that the throne must be bigger than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the evidences, the logical evidences that they bring when it comes to the names and attributes of Allah. And we say that it is impermissible to speak about Allah, his names, his attributes, his actions, his essence, except with al-wahi, except with revelation. So if Allah told us in his revelation that he is above the heavens, then regardless of what our logic says, the revelation comes first. And if Allah tells us that he is above the throne, then regardless of what your logic says, we go back to the revelation. Because as I said, when it comes to Islam, intelligence, logic, reasoning, experience, none of this counts, only al-wahi, only revelation. Also, people now having or daring to speak on the internet without mentioning their names. So you find a person, writes an article, and you don't know who's written the article, what the person's credentials are, you know nothing about that person. And I remember when we were in Masjid al-Nabawi, one of our mashayikh, him telling us about an article he had read on the internet. And it was a refutation upon Imam al-Shafi'i rahimullah. Somebody on the internet had written a refutation against Imam al-Shafi'i rahimullah. Imam al-Shafi'i is like the Imam of the Sharia. And the author of this article is Abdullah. Just like that, Abdullah. Who's Abdullah? Who is she? What's her real name? Where she studied? But this Abdullah, she has enough daring to refute an Imam like al-Shafi'i rahimullah. So things like this, it is impermissible. Also, from the common ways in which people are now speaking about knowledge, about Islam without knowledge, is forwarding text messages, WhatsApp messages, mentioning statements, acclaimed ahadith, and nobody knows about the authenticity of these ahadith. And all of you will have received text messages and WhatsApp messages with strange, strange rulings that if you do this 70 times, then 100 angels will come and visit your house and so on and so forth. And all of this comes under al-kalam an Allahi bila ilm. Speaking regarding Allah, speaking regarding the religion of Allah without any knowledge. And nowadays, every person has now become a scholar. Every person is now a sheikh. With the internet, every person is now a sheikh. And we have with us a principle that one of the great imams, Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimullah, he said. He said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ دِينِ. Indeed, this religion, it is, sorry, he said, indeed, this knowledge, it is your religion. Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimullah, he said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ الدِّينِ. Indeed, this knowledge, it is your religion. فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَهُ دِينَكُمْ. So look from whom you're taking your religion from. Look from whom you're taking this knowledge from. So just because we find somebody on the internet and he's called a sheikh, or even if he's a graduate from a university, doesn't necessarily mean that we can now take knowledge from this person. Rather, we have to know about his aqidah, know about his teachers, know about the scholars that he praises, and if any scholars praise him, and then after this we take knowledge from that person. Speaking about Allah and speaking about Islam without any knowledge, there are many ayat and ahadith which show us that it is not permitted. Firstly, it is from the plots of a shaitan. The greatest plot of shaitan is to tempt people to speak about Allah and his religion without any knowledge. Because when a person speaks about Allah and his religion without knowledge, not only does he harm himself, but he harms every other person. Whoever listens to him, he has harmed that person. And Allah said in the Quran regarding a shaytan, إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالسُّوءِ وَالْفَحْشَاءِ وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Indeed, he, a shaytan, he orders you with evil, he orders you with fahsha, being lewd, and he orders you, meaning he tempts you to say regarding Allah that which you do not know. So speaking about Islam is one of the plots of a shaytan. Also, the ayah which the author has mentioned in the first principle. He said, Al-Qa'idat al-Ula, the first principle, Tahreem al-Qawli al-Allahi bila ilm, the prohibition of speaking about Allah without knowledge. He said, لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, this is due to the saying of Allah the Most High. He said, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشِ. Say, indeed, my Lord has made fawahish haram. The full ayah is, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشِ. Say, indeed, my Lord has made fawahish, immoralities forbidden, مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ, that which are apparent and that which are hidden, وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, and also sinning and oppressing without any right. وَأَن تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا, and that you ascribe partners to Allah for which you have no proof. And then he said, وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, and also you say regarding Allah that which you do not know. And the ayah is in 07:33. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made certain things impermissible for us. He said, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّي الْفَوَاحِشِ. Firstly is al-fawahish. And the word al-fawahish is the plural of fahishatun. And the meaning of fahishatun is any action or any characteristic that those people who have an innocent nature find it to be disgusting and something which is dispraised. So for example, any person, Muslim or non-Muslim, as long as his nature is innocent, would find adultery to be something which is disgusting and intolerable. And therefore this is called fawahish. And that's what they call it, immoralities. Meaning something which is against the morals of the people. Even a non-Muslim, if his nature was innocent, he would still find it immoral. Another example is urinating in front of the people. Or a person lying on the floor drunk. These type of things are called fawahish. Because every single person, even if their religion doesn't teach them, but their normal morals, if their morals were intact, would teach them that these things are disgusting and not accepted. So this is the first thing which is mentioned in this ayah. قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّي الْفَوَاحِشِ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ, that which is apparent and that which is hidden. Then he mentioned وَالْإِثْمِ, and sins. Also my Lord has forbidden sins, major sins and minor sins. وَالْبَغْيِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, and also oppressing the people without any right. And the meaning of al-baghi, oppression, is I taking the rights of the people without any validity or without any right. So for example, a person steals the money of the people and he has no right to do so. Kills another person and he has no right to do so. This is something which Allah has made impermissible. A person might ask, why did Allah say without any right? Is there ever a situation when killing or when taking a person's freedom or taking a person's honor or taking a person's wealth is permitted? We say yes, as long as there is a right. So for example, if a person stole from the people, then the ruler or the authority of that country takes the wealth of that person and returns it to the people, because now he has a right to do so. Criminals, their freedom is taken away, but with a right, either right of the law. قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشْ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ حَقْ. Then he said, وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا, and that you ascribe partners to Allah, i.e. a shirk for which you have no proof. And then finally he said, and this is the point behind this ayah, وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, and that you say regarding Allah that which you have no knowledge. If we look at this ayah and we look at these matters, five matters which I have mentioned, Allah mentions al-fawahish, al-ithm, al-baghi, al-shirk, and speaking about Allah without any knowledge. What we notice is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he begins this ayah with the lightest form of act which is impermissible. So fawahish, it is the lightest form of act which is haram from these five. And then one by one he goes to that which is more severe and more severe, up until he comes to the last one, which is the severest of all of them, and it is speaking about Allah without any knowledge. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah, he said regarding this ayah, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rattaba al-muharramat arba'a maratib, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, he ordered or he placed these things which are haram in different levels, in four different levels. فَبَدَأَ بِأَسْهَلِهَا, so he started by the lightest of all of them, and it is al-fawahish. ثُمَّ ثَنَّى بِمَا هُوَ أَشَدُّ تَحْرِيمًا مِّنْهُ وَهُوَ الْإِثْمُ وَالظُّلْمُ. And then after this, he mentioned second that which is even more severe in terms of our haram it is, and that is sinning and oppression. ثُمَّ ثَلَّثَ بِمَا هُوَ أَعْظَمُ تَحْرِيمًا مِنْهُمَا وَهُوَ الشِّرْ. And then the next thing was something which is severe than all of the previous ones, and it is a shirk. ثُمَّ رَبَّعَ بِمَا هُوَ أَشَدُّ تَحْرِيمًا مِنْ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ. And then the last thing he mentioned was that which is more severe than all of this, and it is الْقَوْلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِالْعِلْمِ, speaking about Allah without any knowledge. And this is general for speaking about Allah, His names, His attributes, His actions, His religion, and His Sharia. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمْ الْكَذِبْ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ. That don't let your tongues fabricate statements that this is halal and this is haram, لِتَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا, so that you may lie about Allah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبْ لَا يُفْلِحُونَ. Indeed, those people who lie and fabricate about Allah, they will never be successful. مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ. They might enjoy a small amount of enjoyment. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And then a very painful punishment. So again, in this ayah, number of things have been made haram. To say, هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ. To say, this is halal and this is haram, means to speak about fiqh. And also to tell lies about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Salaf, the great Imams who came previously, and also our ulama today, despite their knowledge and despite the fact that they were the Imams of this religion, they were very scared and fearful to speak about Islam or to give an answer to a question without knowledge. And even our time today, Imams, mountains of knowledge like Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimullah, if you listen to some of his lessons and his cassettes, they're sitting with him and he's perhaps asked question after question after question, and he will keep repeating, لَنَنْظُرْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. We'll look into the issue. We will look into the issue. Meaning, I will go back, I will check, I will verify, learn, and then I will come back to you. And yet today, juhal, ignorant people are shy to say that I need to look up and check and revise, and then I will get back to you. And we have examples from the Salaf in terms of how scared they were about speaking about Islam or answering a question without knowledge. Imam Malik ibn Anas, rahimullah, he says, سمعت ابن هرمز يقول, that I heard Ibn Hurmuz saying, ينبغي للعالم أن يورث جلساءه من بعده لا أدري. He said, it is befitting for a scholar to leave behind for his students the saying La Adri. And the meaning of La Adri is I do not know. I, the biggest benefit that the students should learn from their teacher, the scholar, is the saying La Adri, that they always have this in front of them. Hatta yakuna aslan fi aydihim. Until this statement, I do not know, this then becomes like a principle which they have in front of them. And then Imam Malik said, Wa mithluhu kathirun min as-sahabati wa tabi'in wa fuqaha al-muslimin. And examples of saying La Adri, I do not know, are many and many amongst the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the Fuqaha of the Muslimin. Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi rahimullah, he himself narrates regarding Malik ibn Anas. He said, Kunna inda Malik ibn Anas. That one day we were with Malik ibn Anas, the Imam rahimullah. Faja'ahu rajulun faqal. So a man came to him and he said to him, Ya Aba Abdullah, O Abu Abdullah, جِئْتُكَ مِنْ مَسِيرَةِ سِتَّةِ أَشْهُرِ. That I have come to you from a country which is 6 months of travelling. Meaning 6 months of travelling on camel, it has taken from my country all the way to come to you. Why? In order to ask you a question. He said, أَهْلُ بَلَدِي لَدَيْهِمْ مَسْأَلَةً. The people of my country, the people of my land, they have a question that I need to ask you. 6 months of travelling. So Imam Malik said to him, Fasal, he said, Sal, ask, what's the question that you have? And the man, he asked the question which the people of his country had entrusted him to ask. And Imam Malik, he said, La uhsinuha. He said, I don't know the answer. I'm not well versed in the answer about this question. So the man said to Imam Malik, he said, أي شيء أقول لأهل بلدي. What should I now say to the people of my country? 6 months I have traveled to go visit Imam Malik ibn Anas, and you say that you don't know, you're not well versed in the answer. What do you want me to now say after 6 months of going back to my people? And Imam Malik said, قل لهم, say to them, قال Imam Malik لا أدري. That Imam Malik said, I do not know. Also, it's mentioned that Imam Malik, rahimullah, he was asked 40 questions in a particular situation, and 4 of them he answered, and 36 of those 40 questions he said, La adri, la adri. I do not know, I do not know. And greater than this is the greatest man in this ummah, rather, the greatest man in all of mankind after the prophets and the messengers, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was asked about an ayah in Surah An-Naba. Amma yatasaalun 'anil Naba'il 'Azim. The saying of Allah, wafakihatan wa abba. He was asked, what is the meaning of abba? Wafakihatan wa abba. And the reply he gave was, he said, ayyu ardin tuqilluni. That which earth will protect me? Wa ayyu sama'in tudhilluni. And which sky will shade me? In qultu fil Qur'ani ma la a'lam. If I say regarding the Qur'an that which I do not know. And this is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, not only the greatest of this ummah, but the greatest of mankind after the prophets and the messengers, he's Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he's to hear this Qur'an from the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to teach them. And yet he said, أَيُّ أَرْضٍ تَقِلُّنِي وَأَيُّ سَمَاءٍ تَظِلُّنِي إِن قُلْتُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ مَا لَا أَعْلَمُ. If I say regarding the Qur'an, that which I do not know. And for this reason, our ulama, they say, لَا أَدْرِي نِصْفُ الْعِلْمِ. That a person saying, La adri, I do not know, or Wallahu a'lam, only Allah has full knowledge, this is a half of knowledge. How is it a half of knowledge? Because knowledge is either something you know and therefore you answer, that's 50%, half of it, and the other half is that which you do not know and therefore you say, La adri. So if a person says, La adri, then half of knowledge he has already gained it. And then the only other half is upon him is that which he is learning and that which he knows. And therefore, I advise myself and the brothers, and especially the younger brothers, that when a question comes about Islam, that you don't answer the question unless you have knowledge of that, of the answer. If you have knowledge, then now it becomes an obligation for you to answer. But as long as you do not have knowledge, then you don't answer. You don't say, هذا حلال وهذا حرام لتفتروا على الله الكذب. So that you lie about and create fabrications about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, just as severe is making judgments and rulings on other people in the name of Islam. This is a calamity and affliction which has afflicted the youth of this ummah. Speaking about other people, speaking about scholars, refuting ulama, refuting people of knowledge, and you yourself, you do not know anything. Or based on mere suspicion that I think he said this and this. When he said this, this is what he really meant. So also by this, it's not permitted for people to enter into this. If a person has knowledge, then he speaks. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and he made it an indicator of a person's iman, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir. Whoever has iman in Allah and the hereafter, the final day, falyaqul khayran. Then speak with goodness, either that which you have knowledge about, aw liyasmut, or remain silent. Mean that which you do not have knowledge about, then remain silent. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our sins and give us the tawfiq for these types of morals and ethics, that we don't speak about Islam without knowledge. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.